Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have been blessed to be doing Tara Rye's Bible Study Daybreak. And if you'd like to join with us, please go to her website, TaraRye.com, and you can purchase Daybreak. We started last week in Acts 9, talking about Paul's conversion.
It's good.
Oh, I could just sit and listen. I'm like, okay, keep going, Tara.
You know, and the bad thing is I can sit and talk. God help
me. That's why we make a good pair.
Oh, you know, Sabrina, I was just thinking, this is really an example of the difference between light and darkness. And I don't know, and this summer in particular, I have been confronted in multiple circumstances where the darkness of our world has been in my face. And you know, the one thing that I have learned about the truth is it exposes the darkness. Whenever we are confronted with truth, it's like the dark is hit and it shatters. And we just can't take dark and put it against light and have dark win out. I mean, practically, you can go test this out in your home. I mean, it's an amazing thing. We have this little nightlight that I always have on a timer that so it'll kick on at a certain time. And we were coming home from one of our events, I think around 4th of July, and the light was out, like the bulb burned or something. And the whole house was impossible to see. I mean, and it's a very low light. I mean, it's like a 15 watt. So you're not talking significant. But that one little light makes the whole house illuminated in such a way that when we move into our home, there's a welcoming warmth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking as I walked in and that light was out, I was just like, wow, it removes the warmth. I hadn't, you know, it was just like a visual late at night for me thinking about it. As we're looking at Saul at this point, and what happened to him on the road to Damascus, truth, the light of the world showed up. And I mean, so profoundly that he was struck blind because he saw. The Lord lifted his hand. That's the only way it could have happened. Or he closed the eyes of everyone else that was in that caravan. Saul was the only one allowed to see. It was for his eyes only. And there's many factors. Practically, I mean, the researcher in me says, well, one, it has to be that in order to be called an apostle, you had to see Jesus face to face. And he wasn't around when Jesus was a part of it or interacted, you know, when Jesus was working with the disciples. He wasn't a part of that. So in order for him to be considered an apostle who wrote 13 letters in our Bible, he had to see him. And he's the one that was chosen to take the message to the Gentile nation. I mean, this is huge. When the light showed up, the light was so bright it blinded him. Now I want you to think about another circumstance in that. Think about when it's pitch black and it's dark and all of a sudden a light is shining on you. Doesn't it hurt your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
You have to adjust. There has to be a time of adjustment.
Physically, your body, your eyes actually have to adjust.
It takes 10 to 15 seconds for our eyes to adjust to the dark. But when light comes at us, it takes seconds as well for our eyes to adjust to the fact that light has been recommunicated into our body. It took him 3 days to grasp the spiritual truth of what was happening. And I found this incredible story that was in one of the commentaries that I was reading at the moment. It just left my head. Anyhow, if I see it, I'll say it later. And in the commentary, it was telling that there is an oral tradition that is told that on the street called Straight, there was a man really in truth named Judas, which we know is true because scripture tells us. But this is the story outside of extra biblical. And people would go and visit his home because he had a closet. And in his closet, it is said that that is the place that Paul went and prayed for those 3 days. Mm. And that as soon as Ananias showed up and Paul was baptized, Paul left Judas's house and they went immediately. And in the town square, there is a fountain. And the fountain is the water source that they had, but it was obviously a fountain that was a moving water fountain. And that Paul was baptized immediately in that water. He followed through with obedience immediately with baptism in that water. Tradition says that people will go to tour Judas's house to see the closet where Paul prayed. And then the next thing they do is they go to the fountain where he was baptized. Not to get baptized. Serena's guessing because I know I'd like to get baptized in the Jordan. You know, if I ever get to Israel, I'm going to do that. But to drink the water. Mm. Because the fountain was the source of life. And so it's intended to feed the city with the water, the nourishing water. And I just thought, that's amazing that we get caught up in the entrapments of what happened to a man. But the reality is that for each of us, it's not the closet and it's not the fountain. And I hope I don't start crying. But when it comes to dealing with the darkness in our world, it has to do with Jesus. Mm. It's Jesus, period. There is no one else. There is no other else. It is through Jesus Christ and his righteousness that we are able to confront dark. Mm. And this summer, in the circumstances I was in, I had an incredible amount of, without sounding hyper-spiritual, where I felt like I was dealing with some incredible spiritual warfare in a particular situation. And my prayer as I was going into this circumstance, I was asking God for his presence that I cannot see, that I have no clue that anybody knows and sees, be so evident upon my person, not just my person, but my husband and my children, that in such a way that when we walked into the room in circumstances, that if it was darkness we were standing next to, that the darkness's mouth would be shut. And God blew my mind away because it was stopped. Not once in the circumstances were we dealing with did we have to deal with our having to say anything in response to a dark perspective or attitude or whatever. And I felt God's presence guarding us in those circumstances when I felt very vulnerable. And what I'm saying this to you because here we have Paul, and I want you to see the creative sovereignty of God. God is creative. God is an amazing God. And when we're in pursuit of something and it's not him, he will confront us where we're at. Now, I want you to think about Saul. Sorry, I keep wanting to do that because I love him so much as Paul. He had amazing leadership qualities. Incredible. I mean, he was a Roman citizen, so he was trained up what it meant to be a Roman citizen. And they were very prideful people about their citizenship. He was Jewish by birth. Not only was he Jewish by birth, but he was trained by Gamaliel, the best mm-hmm. Jewish rabbi that you could possibly train. He was, by his own admonition, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Okay, he knew his stuff. So if there was a law to be memorized, Saul had it. If there was a phylactery to be obtained, he probably had it. Mm. You know, and a phylactery was the little things that they wore that had the laws rolled up and scrolled in, and they would said put them on their doorpost and wear them on a frontlet on your forehead. I was wondering, did he walk around with that? You know, they never show pictures of them walking around with his on. But
there's a teacher in you. I don't know.
So funny. The things that I think of, I know. It's so crazy. I had to make you laugh. He understood the history and the Mosaic law like no other. His leadership qualities not only included Roman citizenship and the Jewish history and background and the law, but he also was a student of Greek. Okay, and of Greece, the Greece culture, the trade, the policies, the politics. This man knew his stuff.
And every angle.
He did. He had knowledge in such a way that if knowledge could make a person good, he had it.
Right.
But he wasn't. And it just amazes me that God in his creative sovereignty knew these qualities that he was using in the darkness, that which to destroy and kill and steal, was what he needed to have to do what he was going to call him to do.
Oh, man.
Which was to break outside of the gospel going to the Jewish nation, to the Gentiles.
But what a beautiful picture of humility, because he knows what he used to be like. And God, and I mean, talk about shocking.
Yeah.
He's like, really, me?
Yeah. But in order to write the 13 letters that we have in the New Testament, he had to have this knowledge.
I know.
In order to understand what was going on in the churches.
Yes.
He had to have this knowledge. So God took that which was a part of his past, of who he was,
right,
before Christ, before he knew, Lord, who are you? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Before he knew him, he took all of those leadership qualities, all of who he was, and said, now I'm going to use it for good. And this is where I want you to see that which is done in the dark, which was what he was doing in the dark, once he came to know the Lord, was used for the light. I serve in many circumstances, and so do you, Sabrina,
testimony,
where I have my own personal life, and then I serve in places where people have done and seen and experienced things that honestly we should not. And the key that we have to understand and grasp is God takes all of us. Our past, our pain, our passion, our pleasure, our skill, our people, our personhood, our everything, everything that culminates in who I am, he will use that for his glory if I am willing to say, here I am, Lord.
That's right.
And I want you to, I didn't write out what translation it was, but in Acts 9:5, where he says, who are you, Lord? There is, in one translation, it says, yes, Lord. He just says, yes, Lord. And it's probably the message, I'm guessing.
I have the message right here.
Will you look and see if Acts 9:5 says that? Where he just says, it's just simply, yes, Lord. I don't know
he
if it is.
He just said, who
it.
Are you, Master? I okay. am Jesus.
One of the translations just has it simply, yes, Lord. Now, what we have to understand is that not only is God creative, sovereign, but he is also purposeful in his sovereignty. Okay?
I love
and
it.
I love it, too, because it gives me hope.
So merciful.
And so often the enemy, whether it be the world, Satan, or my flesh, my own mind.
Right.
Wherever the enemy comes from, whether it's myself, the world, or demonic forces, God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a plan to use
right.
The person who is called by him for his purposes. And right down to what happened within the church at this point, we talked about last week, the reason why Saul was headed to Damascus was because the persecution had happened, and it had increased so much under his tutelage that it was so bad, all the disciples fled.
Mm.
It was like, they call it the diaspora. They just spread everywhere. He was on his way to Damascus because they believe that some of the important disciples, apostles, were there.
Mm.
And so he was actually going to get some of the big guys. maybe Peter was there. I don't know. But that is the assumption that is made by the commentators, that he is in pursuit to get the big ones. He wants to take out the heads.
Right.
But God says, I'm going to use this flight, this persecution, this trial, this evil that is amongst us.
Mm.
I am going to use it for my greater good.
That's right. Romans 8:28.
That's exactly right. And so he has that happening, and he brings it in, and he has Saul heading there, bent on destruction, and then meets him. And then all of a sudden, light enters the circumstances. And I was listening to a broadcast, probably a year or so ago, and I don't remember which one, but it was an advocate that was fighting for pro-life. And she said, one of the things that I have found in my life, that if it's truth, it doesn't have to be justified. And, you know, she was using that as why we can't, you know, a human embryo is a human. It doesn't matter what age or stage it is in the human body. It is, it's a person.
Right.
And she goes, when it's not truth, justification can go all over the place. But when it's truth, you don't have to justify it. It just is, because God is I am.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is truth. It's the same with truth. It always brings light. And it always fascinates me because I don't feel that I'm an eloquent person. But when I pray, I try really hard to pray what I can remember of scripture. And I will have somebody say to me, it's like, wow, that was really poignant. And I just look at them, it's like, you know, it's the word. It's not my own words. And I don't even understand why it impacts somebody, but because it's truth.
That's right.
And the truth, when it is spoken, brings light into the circumstance. And oftentimes, instead of trying to bring the light in, we'll try anything else. We will go to a family member, we'll go to a book, we'll Google, God help us. You know, I mean, we will do anything. That's Facebook. Right. We will Facebook questions and see how many people will come in and give us an answer on what we need to do, rather than going to scripture and asking God to reveal it to us through his word. And right here, on this particular case, God said, he's not looking, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop him. And I'm going to give him the light of the world. And he's going to be blinded so that he has no choice but to pause to seek me first. So I can show him all these things I want to add unto him that are immeasurably more than we can even begin to comprehend or understand.
That's right.
And so Saul is just like blown away. So the light has revealed. And in fact, I wrote down in the 1 Corinthians 9:1, it talks about, this is where Saul says, he says, I am an apostle. He actually proclaims later on in his letters, I am an apostle. He says, I am an apostle because I've seen Jesus. He makes it very clear. And I loved the way the CEV translation, it's the, I just went blank on what that version is. It's the contemporary English version. It says, I am free. I am an apostle. I have seen the Lord Jesus and I have led you to faith in him. So here the one that was destroying is now the one that's leading faith. My question for you, can you honestly say you're in the light? Are you? Are you really able to see Jesus? If you feel that you're not, simply ask him, say, Lord, will you show me the light? Help me to see you face to face today and remove this darkness from me. In Jesus' name, amen.